Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Laurie. Thank you so much.
Well, great.
We start again.
Yeah.
We had seen two things. We've seen a video clip from Les Mis, the famous story of God's grace and mercy and the like. And we've seen a parable that Shanette has kindly read to us this evening. And maybe you've made some connections already between the two as you were watching them. Maybe you have. But there we have, in the video clip, we have Jean Valjean. He is our hero of Les Mis, and he's a convicted laborer. And as far as he's concerned, there is no hope, no grace, no mercy, no nothing. Life is awful. And we also have the man in the blue, the policeman, so to speak, Inspector Javert. He is the pillar of the law and full of uprightness. And when we come to the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector, do you not see a bit of that as well? That here we have Jean Valjean is that where I want? John, that's not clicking through. Oh, I've turned. Try again. We've got Jean Valjean, who is like our tax collector. Somebody who feels he's got no hope. Somebody who feels that at the bottom of the society, nobody cares about them anymore. And then we have Javert, who's a bit like our Pharisee, because he's full of himself and his own importance and his own self-righteousness, and he's good, and he does everything right. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector is often spoken about as a parable about prayer and the importance of how we pray to God. I want to say, well, yes, that's good, and may I say, read it like that, by all means. It's important to read it like that. But can we also read it about grace? Grace. It's very interesting that the parable ends. Jesus says, I tell you that this man went home justified before God. Not the other man. This man. This man went home. So in Jesus' take on this, he's talking about one was justified. One had grace given to them, and they received that grace. They wanted that grace. And the other had no need for that grace, no need for that love of God. They were confident of themselves. They were self-righteous before God. Okay, let's have a little check out. Pharisees and tax collectors, are you up to speed on who these people are? The latter, you probably know about tax collectors. But the Pharisees are a member of an ancient Jewish sect. They were very strict in their observance of Jewish law and traditions and customs. So strict that they would run their whole lives like that, very carefully. And actually, they would be confident of what they'd been able to do. A nice thing about Pharisees for a moment? They tried to do right in order to honor their God. What often happens, they try to do right in order that God would be forced to accept them, that they were good and godly people. And they used to look down on other people who didn't do what they did as not good Jews, as not living as God wanted them to live. And so they had high pretensions to religious superiority. And our tax collectors, well, if you were a tax collector, how often would you tell people on your holiday that you were a tax collector? You probably wouldn't, would you? But it's one of those sort of funny jobs, isn't it? And in the days of first century AD, and Jesus was around, tax collectors were completely despised. They were hated because they collaborated with the enemy. They were collecting taxes for the Romans. They did it like this, by the way. The Romans used to set up a bidding system. Anyone could be a tax collector. You used to bid to raise the money in a particular area. So maybe, let's say it's the county of Bedfordshire, and you would raise that money, and you would raise the money the Romans were expecting, plus a bit more, you'd say, to show the Romans how good you were, and then you would go away and raise it. And the way you would raise it is that you would find people, and you would just take from them what they owed. you'd work it all out, and then there would be a commission on top. And the commission was how much you could squeeze out of people. So you could imagine people were paying their taxes plus. People didn't like tax collectors. They were despised people. They were seen as traitors. They were seen as thieves. Now, what I want to talk about, however, is the Pharisee. He felt that grace was superfluous. He had no need for God's grace, God's forgiveness, God's love for him in a way. Can we just remind ourselves, Pharisees, he was praying in the temple. And that's important little detail, because to pray in the temple was probably the most holiest place to pray. A bit like people saying to me, I'd like to come and pray in the church, Richard. And I said, well, why don't you pray in your lounge? And they said, but the church just feels more right to pray there. Well, the Pharisees felt the same. To pray in the temple was important. They used to pray at 9 a.m. for sure. They used to pray at noon for sure. And they used to pray at 3 p.m. for sure. They'd be there other times as well. And they would pray. And they would stand out and pray. Notice how he says in the text, he stood by himself. Verse 11, this Pharisee stood by himself and prayed. He stood by himself, so he was exposed, really, for all to see that he was a holy, godly man who was praying to God. And if you read his prayer, it's quite interesting, isn't it? He says, God. That's the only and once and only time he mentions God. He says, I thank you that I am not like other people, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give tenth of all I get. Four times the word I is there in that prayer. I. He is the subject of this prayer. His life is the subject of this prayer. And you ask yourself, how can you ever be so proud before God in such a way? Well, actually, we've got the text of another prayer that was written by a rabbi a couple of centuries later. So Pharisees, in a sense, had morphed into rabbis by then in around about the 3rd century AD. A guy called Rabbi Nehunia, and he wrote this prayer. Genuinely, he wrote this prayer. I read it out to you. I give thanks to thee, O Lord my God, that thou hast set my portion with those who sit in the house of learning, and thou hast not set my portion with those who sit in street corners. For I rise early, and they rise early, but I rise early for words of Torah, and they rise early for frivolous talk. I labor, and they labor, but I labor and receive a reward, and they labor and do not receive a reward. I run, and they run, but I run to the life of the future world, and they run to the pit of destruction. That's a genuine prayer, prayed by a guy in the 2nd century AD, a Jewish guy. And people, I think, might pray those things today. I am so important. I am marvelous at this. I am doing this. You best think of a few celebrities a bit like that, or politicians, for that matter. So what is he doing? He's talking at God, isn't he, if you think about it. He's not talking with God, he's talking at God. Just throwing his statements out there. It's all about me, Jesus. It's all about me. So here's my illustration to help you understand this evening. This is a beautiful box. I hope you think this is a beautiful box. It's lovely, beautifully wrapped. I've never really bothered with ribbons and the like, but I've made an effort tonight. And we have a beautiful box. This is my Pharisee who has come. And doesn't he look beautiful? All clean and righteous and holy and all the rest of it. And this is my tax collector down over here. I'm going to lift him up a little bit just because he's a bit of a distance. Can you see him? This is my tax collector. He doesn't look quite as beautiful as the other Pharisee, does he, huh? But that's my tax collector, and he's there. And I want you to understand a bit about that tax collector like this. He understood that grace would be sufficient. That's what he wanted. Grace would be sufficient. I don't think he went to pray very often. I think he was a bit of a visitor. He would have signed the visitor's book in the temple, you know? He didn't come often. I don't think he probably even made Passover. But he was there. And look how the text tells us the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, but the tax collector, verse 13, says he stood at a distance. Wouldn't even look up to heaven. beats his breast. He knows that he's a failure. You know, when you've go off, can you remember those days when your parents told you off? And what did you didn't necessarily beat your breast, did you? But I tell you, you often hung your head in shame, didn't you? Maybe you didn't feel it inside because you were trying to, but actually outwardly you hung your head in shame a bit. You've been caught out. One of the great stories of me of being caught out was I was my then girlfriend, and I was meant to be home by, I think it was a 10 o'clock, and I wasn't. And I got home about 10:30, and the house was in darkness. So I very carefully walked in, and I turned on the hall light so I could just make sure I locked everything up properly, and inadvertently turned the landing light on and turned it off again and put the hall. Anyway, and I walked up the stairs really carefully. As I came round the corner of the stairs, I looked up, and there was my mum in her white nightie, like the angel of wrath. I hung my head in shame because I didn't do as she asked me to. We hang our head in shame, don't we, sometimes, when we're told off. And his prayer is really short, isn't it? Have you seen it? It says, Lord, or God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He just says me once, doesn't he? God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He realizes where he stands in front of this God. And in that little phrase, have mercy, by the way, is the Greek is hilasthetai. Hilasthetai, which, well, poshly means to propitiate, which is a word we never use in English anymore. But it means to be favorably inclined. Or another way you might look at it in a reverse way is to say, remove your anger from me. God, remove your anger from me. Remove your anger from me. What is he doing? He's asking something of God. He's not talking at God. He's saying, here I am, God. Remove your mercy, remove your anger from me. Incline your heart favorably to me. In other words, it's all about you, God. It's all about you. He asks of God. So back to my illustration. Two boxes. Here we got one box here, looking beautiful and lovely. Yeah, and that's our Pharisee, beautiful, lovely. He's convinced he's absolutely beautiful and lovely. And here's our tax collector. Can you see this? I think my lectern might be in the way. And you see my tax collector, he's not beautiful or lovely at all. He's battered, he's torn, he's not even beautifully dressed in any way. And it's funny, isn't it, because one of them goes home right, doesn't it? Jesus says, this man went home justified before God. Was that the Pharisee that went home justified before God because of all the good things he'd done? Or was it the tax collector who went justified? Because he said, have mercy, incline your favor towards me, Lord. You see the tax collector's battered on the outside and the Pharisee's beautiful on the outside. But one of them is a closed box and one is an open box. Because what we need to bring is God's grace into this. So here we have God's grace. It's like a beautiful, beautiful bag. And if we pour out God's grace on the Pharisee in here, I've got a load of sweets. We pour out God's grace on the Pharisee. What happens to that grace? Can't get into the Pharisee, can it? Can't get in. But if we pour it into our tax collector, it not only fills him, but it can flow from him, that grace. So tonight, I want to ask you the question, what are you going to take away today? That God's grace is superfluous for you? Or actually, God's grace can be sufficient for you? Maybe we can do it this way. Maybe, perhaps if we all close our eyes, that's the first thing, because then you don't know what your neighbor's doing. Close your eyes. Sorry. Even you, Saoirse, close your eyes. Thank you. And then put your hands out, and you've got a choice to have your hands open, palms upwards and open, or turned down and closed. I'm offering you palms open, palms open or hands closed. I think you know what I'm trying to say here. Are you open to receive God's grace? Or are you closed to receiving that grace? Are you going to be like the tax collector? God, have mercy on me, a sinner. You just need God's grace. Or are you going to be closed? No, I'm okay. I think I'm all right. I think I'm doing enough. Just going to leave it there for you to ponder. And Matt and the band will, in a moment, lead us into some songs. But let that quietness hold you as you just ponder. How can you respond to that all-sufficient grace that God offers, even to tax collectors and sinners, even to you? However good you are, we need more of God's grace. However bad we are, there is no limit to God's grace to reach you now and always. Thank you, Matt.